Good morning. Well, it's an exciting morning because we're going to be doing baptisms. Amen. Anytime we baptize and see people go down to those waters, the old man dying and being raised in a newness of life, the expression of Jesus going into the tomb and him coming out into brand new creation, which we represent when we come out of those waters of baptism. So praise God. Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, this is the day that you have made. Lord, we're going to rejoice right now. We're going to be glad in it, Lord. We're going to worship you, Lord. Like Rick was saying in his text this morning, like this might be the last time we get to worship you, Lord. This might be the last time we get to preach a sermon, Lord. Preach a message, Lord. Sing a song, Father. We just ask right now, Lord, that we would give our all this morning. We would give our all to you, Lord, because you deserve our all, Lord. You've given your all, Lord, so let us give back to you. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, that there would just be an awakening in our hearts, an awakening in our lives, Lord, to your goodness and your greatness, Lord, that you're working in us. And we thank you, Jesus, for this day. We thank you, Lord, that you do all things good. And Lord, we pray that we would bless you as you've already blessed us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Savior, and he calls, bring it all to the table. I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do. Every song must end. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Gratitude, thankful, right? This is an experience where we're showing Jesus our gratitude and our thankfulness for what he did for us. We're saying, Lord, you gave your life for me. Now I'm going to give my life back for you. Baptism, as I was saying earlier, shows the death of the old man. It shows us being raised into a newness of life so that we're living a fresh new life for Christ. The old man is crucified with Christ and we're raised into newness of life. So Tyson, with that, come on up or down. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is Tyson. Tyson has known the Lord a long time, and he was trying to remember if he could remember when he was baptized, and he couldn't. So that's a good reason to be baptized again. And I want just to encourage anyone who's been baptized before, and maybe you just feel like you need like a re-energizing, a freshness to your Christian walk. Being baptized again, there's nothing wrong with that. It's like a fresh start. And so we're believing today that Tyson's getting a fresh start, that when he comes out of these waters of baptism, that the new creation that he already is going to come alive like never before. He's going to experience Christ and speaking to him and a freshness of the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm believing for.
Amen.
So do you want to say anything, Tyson?
I just felt the calling from the Lord to you know, perform this baptism and you know, with the possibility of the moving of the church. And I thought, you know, this is the place, this is my family. And then lastly, I couldn't have my kids showing me, you know, up, you know, and them getting baptized. So I thought, you know, it's a good time. It's time. And like Pastor was saying, I don't recall during the whole encounter, you know, time frame, if you were here during that time frame, whether or not I got baptized or not. And so I thought, you know, it's time. It's time.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yep. All right, Tyson. Well, Tyson, based on your confession of faith, you're going to plan to walk with Jesus all the rest of your days of your life, right?
Yes, amen.
Based on confession of faith, Lord, and your hunger for the Lord, and your desire for more of Jesus, I just now baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we just thank you for Tyson. Thank you, Lord, that he is being used by you, Lord, for your glory. Lord, we pray right now, Lord, this work that you're doing in him, Lord, the power of the Holy Spirit would just fill him to afresh and anew. Lord, we pray that you would just order his steps, Lord. It says the good man's steps are ordered by the Lord. So, Father, we just pray right now that in the coming days, weeks, months, and years, Lord, that he would just see the direction and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We bless him now in Jesus' name. We give him, Lord, every spiritual gift, Lord, that you've already given him, Lord. Let it be activated in his life afresh and anew. Lord, just let your passion and your power work in his life. We thank you for him. In Jesus' name, amen. Your head okay?
Yeah.
We should have got some
sense of it.
He hit his head on the back there, but not too bad. Stay right here. Don't go too far back there. All right, this is Gabriel.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. And Gabe has been really stirred by God, and he's fresh with the Lord, and well, I'm speaking for you. So, do you have anything to say, Gabe?
It's just been a really long journey. After I met the Lopezes, they've been very impactful in my life. They've loved me like no other. And if I didn't meet Skyly, none of this would be happening. So, I'm just very thankful that
Praise
I met Skyly.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Love you, Gabe.
Love you, too.
So, Gabe, you're going to follow Jesus all the days of your life, aren't you?
Yes.
I can tell. You're hungry for him. You want more of him.
Yes.
This is going to be another step in your walk of faith. So, Gabe, based on your confession of faith, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for Gabriel. I thank you, Lord, that his heart, Lord, is hungering after you, Lord. Lord, it says in your word that as a deer pants for the waters, Lord, my soul longs after you, Lord. I sense that in him, Lord, that he desires more of you, Lord. He desires all of you, Lord. So I pray, Father, that you would just pour out, God, Pour out, Lord, everything that you have for him. Activate everything that's inside of him, Lord, for your glory, Lord. Everything that you need him to do and want him to do in the coming days, God, direct and guide him, Lord. Lord, I pray right now that you would bless his steps. Bless his heart, Lord, so that he seeks after you above and beyond anything else in his life, Lord. Open his spiritual eyes so he can see, Lord, what you have for him. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord.
So I throw up my hands, praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. I know it's not much, I've nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah. through it all, it is well. Through it all.
Sure that most of us have heard the story behind the actual hymn that was penned it as well, but as a reminder, Horatio Spafford was a lawyer, he was a poemist, he was a godly man, and his son passed away at the age of 4. I can't remember how he lost his son, but he was only 4 years old. And then one summer, he sent his wife and 4 daughters to Europe for a vacation. And he stayed back because he had a lot of work and he was going to join them later. And a huge storm came up, and a lot of the passengers were killed in a shipwreck, and his 4 daughters included. And they found his wife floating in the ocean on a board. And when he got the news, he then took a ship, which I think that would be the hardest thing to do, take a ship. But he went over to Europe to get his wife. And as they were sailing, the captain of the ship called to Horatio and said, asked him to come up on deck, and he did. And he pointed out that this was the spot where his daughters perished. And from that deep-seated pain of losing all of his 5 children to death, he still looked to the heavens and said, "It is well with my soul." I don't know what any of y'all are going through today. I don't know what you've gone through in the past, but I do know that my God is faithful. But it does take a point in our hearts to be grateful no matter what. And sometimes that's a really hard thing to do. God wants you to know that He loves you so much, and that if out of a grateful heart of your pain or of your joy, if you can say it as well, He can use that. He can use that for His glory and for your betterment. So my heart for all of us today is to be able to say it's well. It is well with me, no matter what. So Father, we just, again, just thank you, God, for your love and for your mercy. And Father, we thank you because from a place of pain or a place of joy, we can still say, "It is well with my soul." So Father, I thank you for these 2 men that reacclaimed their love for you in baptism. And Father, I thank you for the joy that that brings your heart. I thank you for the glory that it's going to bring to the kingdom. I thank you, God, because their hearts are now stirred for you. And Father, in that stirring, they can lead others to you, Jesus, with joy and with hope. Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we get today to say we love you. It is well with us. And just like my husband said, if this is our last time to ever worship you, we can say it is well. Thank you, Jesus, for today. Thank you for your love. We pray this in your sweet name. Amen. Woo! And on that note, please love on one another. Help yourself to a cup of coffee. We'll get back together in about 5 minutes.
is well with my soul.
Hello, hello. It's good to see you guys this morning. Thank you. If you guys will just stand with me, we're going to get ready to do our declaration over the heart of our house. Yeah. And so we have some new faces in here today, so I'm just going to remind you guys or bring you guys into what's going on. When we do our declarations, what we're doing is we're just standing firm, as Pastor's been talking about, in what we believe and what we want to see God do, not only for our city, but for our house. This one in particular, what we're doing is when you make a declaration, you're speaking out in authority what it is that you're believing to see. Whether you've seen fruit of it yet in the natural or not, we believe that God's doing something supernatural, and it will begin to come to fruition. But when we stand together in unison, speaking these things out, I mean, what can you imagine, right? So without further ado, on the count of three, one, two, three. I declare that God is building our church. God is calling us to the basic gospel, and he's awakening our church, that we will live a vulnerable life for the Lord, that God is working in our waiting, that our hearts are prepared to move where his heart moves, and that we will cultivate a right heart and right mind. And we declare that we are reaching Yakima one life at a time. Amen. Yes, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this house today. God, I pray that the works that are being done in the hearts in this house, God, would begin to expand to our city in Jesus' name. Father, that our hearts would begin to influence those around us, Lord, that they would sense the difference in us, God, because of the you that's coming to the forefront in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, guys, and so you could be seated. And then I just want to kind of let you guys in on our upcoming, what are we calling it, a weekend hangout? But it's becoming one. A what? Becoming one weekend, you guys. But this is becoming one over a weekend, which means it's going to be intensive. We are. This is for marriages in the house and outside. If you know of anybody who is married at all, it doesn't matter if their marriage is the best in the world or if it's falling apart, we want them all, because we believe that God is all about marriage and covenant in Jesus' name. And when we get together over this weekend, we're going to be able to pour into you and into ourselves and just watch God move mightily like never before. And that the strengthening of those that are already good and also those that are falling apart are going to be pieced back together in Jesus' name. Communication is going to be restored. Love and passion is going to be, what's that? It's going to be restored. It's okay. And it is over the weekend of February 16th and 17th. It's $60 to register. Please don't let that be a hindrance to you. If you cannot make the $60, but you want to come, or you know that this might not be doable for somebody that you believe should be here, let us know. God is so faithful, and he will make a way, and we'll make that happen, okay? But it is open to all marriages in Jesus' name. Yeah. Amen. So without further ado, Eric. Oh, just kidding. Offering. I was glad you guys are paying attention. That was a test. Give yourselves a round of applause. Okay. So with our offering is an extension of worship. We believe we don't receive offering, but, you know, it's here for you if you want to give. If God calls you to give to this house, we have ways for you to do so in the box in the back or right up here or online. If you go to onelifefamilyworship.com, click give. It'll walk you through from there. What's that? Oh, the time that it starts on the 16th and 17th.
It's Friday night. Friday night, and then, yeah.
6 o'clock dinner.
If you've signed up, you will get a text.
Yes,
with information.
Sorry about that, guys. I didn't know. It wasn't on my slide. Not there yet. But as far as the offering, do not feel you have to give to the house. If you are prompted by the Lord and you feel you want to give in, because he makes up the lack we don't need this, God is so good and faithful, and he's been providing for this church for a long time. So if you feel you trust him, where he tells you to put it, you put it there, and he's going to do mighty things with it, okay?
Amen.
Amen.
How many of you guys love when Nancy just has the mic for a long period of time? Here's the thing that you guys don't know is that Nancy, actually some of you guys do know this, Nancy is one of the most profound communicators in regards to when it comes to Jesus. She's actually, she went on a mission trip a while back. I don't remember the timeline. It was over 8 years ago. And she got to preach in a church in South Africa. And from what I hear, brought the glory of God. And so yeah. So we believe in women preaching in Jesus' name. I don't know about you guys. I'm stirred up in regards to seeing people get baptized. It is just so exciting. I said it, I think, last week as well, just when we were announcing it, how we have come kind of like the pendulum has swung completely the other way from where our church was not even like a year ago to now, where we're seeing people saying yes to Jesus. We're seeing people make this intentional, very intentional decision to get baptized. And you know, I just want to speak prophetically to the two men that said yes today to that, because I believe that there's something. It's not even about believing, it just is. Like, there was something significant that happened for you and for your homes represented. And we, during pre-service prayer, I felt like the stirring up about, like, wow, these two men, where you have Tyson, who has known the Lord for a long time, who like has been a part of this church for so long, and is making that decision today. And then you have Gabe, who just last summer started coming to our church, started coming to our youth, and got plugged in. And you have this kind of, for lack of a better term, this old faith and this new faith, but making this decision, and how it's a no pun intended, but going to make a splash in your families. And I just really, really believe that. And so take that for what it is. I would say this: don't be surprised if you guys begin to see more of the glory of God show up in your lives, in your family's lives, and I just love it so much. Like, it's really exciting, you guys. And so, as you know, as you guys are talking to your friends and family about your church, just make sure you mention, we baptize people at our church. Make sure you mention that we believe that God moves and that He wants to see lives change. Amen. So I want to preach a message this morning. I titled it Equipped and Ready. And if you've been following along the last few weeks, Pastor Mike has been preaching a word called Equipped for War. And I believe we're at part 7 right now is where he has, I don't know, I don't think he's done, but where he has, yeah, he's not done yet. But nonetheless, it's been this amazing picture, and it's all online. You can go to our website. You can go to YouTube as well if you want to watch it. And he's painting this picture of essentially what it is for us to have, not just talk about having the armor of God, but actually walking this thing out. And so this week, as I've been kind of pondering on what to share, I got settled on a story in 2 Samuel 11. That's where we're going to be reading if you want to go there, 2 Samuel 11. And it's not, because it's not just enough to know about the armor, and it's not just enough to have the head knowledge about the armor, because the armor, now hear my heart, the armor essentially means nothing if you don't actually know what to do once you have it on. The armor actually is just pieces of metal, if you will, if you just put it on and stand in your living room. If you just put it on and stand in your church sanctuary. If you just put it on and go to the conference or go to the youth camp. Like, it's just pieces of metal at that point. The armor becomes armor in its truest form when you step out of these doors with the armor on and you're now facing a battle. The armor becomes in its truest form when you go to the mat for your marriage. And you actually pull out the sword when it needs to be pulled out. You actually pull out the shield when it needs to be pulled out. That's when the armor becomes real. So again, I would encourage you, if you've missed any of those weeks, go online. They're all there, and they're a great lesson, the armor of God. And we're going to read a little bit of the same scripture. But let me start by saying this. You can be equipped with the armor, but not activated. You could be equipped fully, but not activated. You could have from head to toe ready to go and still not be activated. And I want to read this story in 2 Samuel. This is about King David. And if you know King David, if you've heard this term, a man after God's own heart, and that's true, and it is, and you see in the Psalms, you get to read about David or read his heart. And so I believe that that is obviously true. However, I think the thing we don't talk about enough is that the man after God's own heart was still first a man. A man after God's own heart still made man decisions, carnal decisions. And we're going to read about one of these things right now. This is 2 Samuel 11. We'll start in verse 1. And it says, in the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David, who was a king, sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. So let's not move too fast. At a time when kings go off to war, King David, where should he have been? At war. At a time when kings go off to war, we get where kings should be, and we get where King David was not. Verse 2, one evening David got up from his bed and walked around the roof or on the roof of the palace. From the roof he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful, and David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, she is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam and the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Then David sent messengers to get her. She came to him and he slept with her. Now she was purifying herself from her monthly uncleanness. Then she went back home. The woman conceived and sent word to David saying, I am pregnant. I don't know if you guys realize how much drama is in the Bible. There could be a whole soap opera based purely on some of these stories. But nonetheless, we have King David, a man after God's own heart, a king that should have been at war because that's where kings were. And he essentially lusts after this woman, another man's wife, sleeps with her, gets her pregnant. And the story doesn't just end there. The story actually gets a lot worse. Because if you continue reading, David's like, remember, he's a man after God's own heart. He's equipped, right? He has the armor on. What should I do here? I should fess up. I'm a man after God's own heart. But what does he do? I'm going to bring the husband back. The husband will sleep with his wife. Congratulations, you're pregnant. I'll throw you a baby shower. Awesome. That's not my baby. That's your baby, right? Here's the thing, though. He didn't take into account of the honor that Uriah held in his heart. And so he brings him back. He expects him to go sleep with his wife. And he actually doesn't even go into the house. He says, I can't actually go sleep with my wife and just be hanging out here while men are fighting and dying. Where actually you should be, King David. I can't even allow myself to do that. So David, man after God's own heart, completely on the armored up, should have maybe at that point said, okay, we have to fix this. I made a mistake. My bad. This is what happens. But instead says, got it. You're going to be so self-righteous, I'm going to send you back into war. And while you're back into war, I'm going to put you at the front line. And I'm going to call all the soldiers back so then you're there alone. And then you die. And then me, I don't have to face all that's going to come to this son or this child that happened out of my lust. Instead of David fighting the war he was equipped to fight, he created a new war for himself. Instead of being at the war where he should have been, he could create this whole new thing for himself. Is it probable, church, that struggles that we face, the struggles that we're in, are because of a little bit of disobedience in our life? Is it probable that it's not just because life hates us and life is woe is me and whatnot, but actually it's because we have not taken the full armor of God and said, God, now what? Now what do you want me to do with this? Now what do you want me to do with this life, with this relationship, with these decisions? We're equipped, but have we been fighting the correct war? I have 2 points. My first point is your faith requires a fight. Your faith requires a fight. Are you ready to fight? People have walked through many of churches in our city. People have walked through the doors of this church thinking they're equipped, but then life hits them and they give up. People have spent hours in growing in the Lord and going after what God has put on their heart and going through classes and memorizing Bible scripture and going to retreats and going to and doing all the stuff that they know they should do. And then life happens. Your faith requires a fight. Your faith is rarely going to be easy. Your faith is rarely going to be something that is just a cakewalk. There are moments, and God's grace is sufficient, and there are great times where you can say, wow, life is going really good. I always like to be careful in those moments, not because I'm doom and gloom, but because I know that just as much as I believe in a real God, I know there's a real enemy that hates my stinking guts and hates my family's guts and hates my church's guts and hates my job and hates everything I'm doing for the kingdom. And he's going to do everything he can to make sure that Eric Lopez will fail. And so I personally am very careful in those moments where, like, things seem to be going pretty good right now. And I'm ready. I'm ready for a fight. And Nancy and I, it's so funny, and I don't know if you guys realize this. I don't like to talk about the enemy very much, but I will say that he's not creative. Okay, let's stop giving the enemy more credit than he deserves. He's not that creative, right? He's not doing anything new. He doesn't know how to do anything new. All he can do is take what the beautifulness that God's created and skew it to be something worse, right? He gives you like the off brand, like the Safeway brand of soda, right? Like he gives you that version of Dr. Pepper, right? You get a Dr. Thunder version, right? And That's the enemy, right? And so, but Nancy and I realize this. There's 3 specific ways, and we don't catch it right when it's happening. But sometimes we're like, interesting, our kids are all of a sudden getting sick. Oh, our finances just got attacked. Oh, our car is doing something. It's either one of those 3 things where we realize the enemy is upset. We've been doing something, and I'm okay with that personally. I'm totally okay. I feel like at that point, like I'm in the right space if the enemy is stirred up. Because you know who the enemy's not scared of is a complacent Christian. The enemy actually has no concern about you coming into this building Sunday after Sunday and listening to some nice songs and hearing a nice word. The enemy has no concern for that. The enemy gets scared when you start doing something with what you've been equipped to do. The enemy gets scared when Christians actually rise up and say, I'm going to do something with my faith. I'm actually going to see salvations happen in my workplace. I'm actually going to see my faith come alive and begin praying for people. I'm actually going to speak life into death situations. That's when the enemy gets stirred up. That's when we get equipped with this armor and we actually do something with it. When I was a kid, I was in grid kid football. It wasn't my choice. Don't know. I had no business being on a football field, to be quite honest, but I was there. And I remember there was this, it might have been my first or second year in. I was about 9 or 10. And I might have shared this story already, so forgive me if I'm repeating myself, but there was this drill that the coach wanted to do. And I don't fully understand why this adult thought that this was a great idea to put me. It wasn't just that I was a small kid amongst small kids. Like I was smaller than the smaller kids, right? I wasn't like on par with these other 9 to 10 year olds who were on steroids. I don't know. And so the drill was this. He lined us up like shoulder to shoulder, So me here, and then somebody here, and then somebody here, and then somebody here, okay? So we're lined up faced that way, and then he had somebody else, another line happening there, and this guy would come, and he would hit this dude, and he would absorb the hit, and then he would back up, and he would hit this dude, absorb the hit, and then so forth. The last one, he was supposed to go with all of his might, okay? The last one was supposed to give it his all, right? I was the last one. Again, I don't know why. So I'm like, cool. I trust this adult. He knows what he's doing. And so we get the drill, get started. Hits first kid, hits second kid, hits a third kid, hits me. And I don't remember much. What I remember is, like, you know, in the shows or movies where they over exaggerate, like somebody gets hit and then like the person, like the feet come out from under him or her and they fly back. And all I remember is just seeing sky. And then I'm on my back, right? I wasn't ready. I could be, George, don't you dare laugh, okay? I had all the armor on, right? I had all the equipment on, right? But I wasn't ready. This is the picture that I think that is a lot of believers sometimes is that we could be all armored up. We could have everything. We could know some scripture, right? We could carry our Bible with us, right? We have our worship playlist going. We have our Caleb on in the car, right? We prayed that morning. We prayed that night. We could be all armored up, but still not be ready. Because it's not just a bunch of things that we have to do to get us ready. It's an intentional relationship with the Lord and understanding that it's not going to be just me quoting a bunch of scripture to solve all life's problems. That's great. We need to do that. But make sure that we're aware of do we know who he is in this situation? When tragedy happens, do we know who he is still? Right? Your yes to Jesus, your yes to the Father, it comes with an equipping. The second you say yes to Jesus, the second you profess the name of Jesus, you get baptized, equipped. There's no more class you need to do to get more equipped. There's no more sermons. Like, I'm not saying stop going to church, stop doing that. What I'm saying is that at that moment, you're the most equipped than you'll ever be. When you say yes to Jesus, that's the most saved you're ever going to be. That's the cleanest you're ever going to be. When you get baptized, that's the most clean you're going to be. The closest Jesus you're going to be at that moment. You're equipped in that moment. So once you're equipped, the work begins. The full armor of God belongs to you. I'm going to read it. Pastor's been reading it for the last few weeks. Ephesians 6, starting in 13. It says, therefore, put on the full armor of God. Put on. That's an action word, people. Put on. Don't just look at it. Yeah, I have the armor of God. It's over there in the closet somewhere. Or it's over on the shelf somewhere. No, it's actually put on. Put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes. When the day of evil comes. That's not a maybe. That's a when the day that evil comes. When life hits you, when the car breaks down, when the marriage starts breaking down, when the kids aren't listening, when the job gets lost, when the family member dies, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. When the day of evil comes, this is why we have the armor of God on. You may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. All of these items become ours. We say yes to Jesus. We walk this life out as a Christian. These are ours, but we must pick them up. We must put them on, and we must walk in authority, people. And if you don't know how to walk in authority, this is where you gather other people around you. You gather other believers around you and say, hey, I actually don't know how to use my sword. I actually don't know how to use this shield. I actually don't know how to put these shoes on. You bring people around you. Our life as a believer is never meant to be done alone. It was never meant to be done alone. right? Proverbs is riddled with the importance of having many advisors, having many counselors, meaning, hey, and let me talk to the men for a second. It's okay to say, I need help. I need help. I don't know how to do this. Bring another man in. Say, hey, I actually don't know how to, I've been in this life long enough, or I've been in this marriage long enough, or I've been a dad long enough. I actually don't know how to do this part. Can you help me process this? The second point I have is recognize what is in your hands. Recognize what is in your hands. Talking about David again, just a book prior to what we just read, 1 Samuel 17, quite famous story, David and Goliath. David, before he was king, he was anointed king, but he didn't have the title yet. David was equipped and walked like he was with just some stones and a slingshot. He walked. Saul tried to put his armor on him, right? He said, I can't wear this. Takes it off. Because he knew, I already have something that God's given me. Just with some stones, just with a slingshot, defeating Goliath. Defeating Goliath was the battle he was called to win. Just read just one verse from that story, 1 Samuel 17:40. Spoiler alert, he won. He won the battle. In verse 40, it says, then he took his staff in his hand. He chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. Sometimes I think this, that we need to stop asking God to deliver us from what he's asking us. Sorry. Sometimes we need to stop asking God to deliver you when he's asking you to use what he's put in your hands. Because when life gets hard or when life gets tough, the easy prayer is, God, just take this away from me. Take this burden away from me. And maybe sometimes that is the prayer. Sometimes God is going to walk us through that, right? I think a lot of the times we have to make sure we're getting the mind of Christ. And instead of asking God, why is this happening? We ask God, where are you in this? What is my place in this, God? What am I supposed to do in this situation? Because you don't know. Maybe God puts you in that situation because you're the one with the armor equipped to do something in that time. God, but this is such a dark place. I don't know what to do. Maybe the answer, he brought you as the answer. The Jesus in you. Even if it's just a few stones and a slingshot, God's equipped you. Years ago, we lived in Portland, and my wife and I were approached with this situation. It was a friend of a friend, okay? So a friend of a friend had a daughter named Madeline. She was 13. Again, no relationship with these people. And they were struggling. They were struggling with this 13-year-old, and the friend of ours said, hey, I know a couple who loves teenagers and would love to help you in this process. Again, we have no idea what we're getting ourselves into. We just know that our heart is for young people. Our heart is to step in where God has allowed, go through the door that God is opening. And again, let me emphasize, we have no relationship. We don't know the history. We don't know anything. What we stepped into was a very dysfunctional young lady who was broken, who had stuff going on mentally and spiritually, quite honestly, and with a lot of baggage. And we invited that young girl into our home, and she actually kind of lived with us part-time. And it wasn't easy. I wish I could tell that story and say, she came into our home, she got baptized, she got saved, she walked on water. Like, I wish I can say all these things, but no, the struggle continued in our home. Now, there were seeds that were planted, But I believe that those 3 months maybe that we were in her life were impactful. I will say this, fast forward, that young lady is now a woman and loves Jesus and she's married and she's healthy and all those things, right? But I don't know if young Madeline gets to that point if it's not a bunch of people saying yes to the struggle, including my family. We weren't the only ones. There were many people that came after us, before us and after us, that helped assist this struggle along. But it would be very easy in those moments. And there were moments where I'm like, God, is this even what we're supposed to be doing? Like, I have three young kids at my house at this time, my three own young kids. I'm bringing a broken teenager into my home with her baggage, with her struggles. Am I even supposed to be doing this? And we continue to do this because the resounding yes was just so loud from the Lord that we felt like anything else was just illegal. Like, we were supposed to be in this young girl's life. What is it in your life that God is screaming at you, yes, this is where you're supposed to be, that you're resisting and saying, no, that's not what I don't want anything to do with that. Sometimes our prayers need to shift from send someone, Lord, to asking the question, is it me, Lord? Because again, just a reminder, we're equipped. We're equipped. Anything that God is bringing us to, he's equipping us. Our Father is a loving Father and is not putting us in situations that he hasn't first equipped us for. You know how you know a good teacher? A good teacher is someone who prepares their students for the test. If you're taking a test and you know nothing, now obviously there's a part in this where if you just didn't do the work, that's a whole nother story. But if you get a piece of paper that has nothing that you know that you've gone over, that's a bad teacher. Our Lord is such a good teacher that when you get given the test of life, he's already equipped you with everything. He's already equipped you. That's how we know how great a teacher he is. Because we may look in and be like, that's scary. But then you take a second, stop and say, is it me, Lord? He says, yes. Say, okay, great. And you start pulling from life experience. You start pulling from scripture. You start pulling from prayer. And you realize, oh, I actually have been studying for this for a long time. I know how to handle this test. We have to begin seeking the Lord for where we are equipped and what we are equipped for. There's this thing called the law of the bystander, and we all struggle with it, especially young kids. You ever see a kid spill something? My God. They will look at that thing, and you just like, this is where you realize the brain is barely functioning because they just stare at it, and you think, like, pick it up, right? But even as adults, right, we do this when we're out in public, you know? We see trash on the ground, and that's not my trash. What are we thinking? Subconsciously, we're thinking somebody else is going to do that. In fact, somebody else should do that. That is somebody else's job. The scary thing, though, is that that transitions into life, and the things that God is putting in front of us where he's saying, hey, I want you to pick that up, we're walking by and saying somebody else is going to handle that. Somebody else is going to handle Madeline. Somebody else is going to handle that soul. Somebody else is going to handle that relationship. It's somebody else's job, the law of the bystander. We're actually not called to be bystanders. We're called to be equipped to handle any and all situation that the Lord takes us through. There are times when God will send someone else, and there are times God is dead set on sending you. There are times, now I believe fully that the will of God is going to happen, whether it's through you or someone else. Also, what we know by reading the book of Jonah, whether you like it or not, it's going to be you. Even if he has to almost sink your ship going in the opposite direction. Even if he has to send a big fish to swallow you. It's going to be you. Either way, his will get done. But we're equipped. We are equipped for the things that life is throwing at us. As believers, we are equipped to go to the mat and say, I'm not going to allow anything to steal my joy, anything to steal my peace, anything to steal the marriage that I've been building up, my children that I've been building up, my career that I've been building up. I'm not going to allow anything to steal because I'm equipped to go to the mat for these things. But in order to get there, we have to break out of any complacency that is left in here. Any complacency. And I've said it before, I'll continue to die on this mountain because I believe that the biggest thing that's facing, a big thing that's facing the church is just complacency. I believe God has the ability to move in such a mighty way in our small church, the same way he has to move in the big church down the road. The same way he has to move in the mega church, he can move mightily here. You know how I know? Because there are churches in China that are underground that are having way more powerful services than we are. And that's not to bag on our church. That's just because there's a desperation where there's no room for complacency. Because they're counting the cost for a gathering, right? It took... Other than the inconvenience of maybe waking up and getting dressed on your Sunday morning, it took very little sacrifice for any of us to come here. It took very. I woke up very comfortable this morning in my comfortable bed. I made my great coffee. I saw my beautiful children. I came in church and everything was already set up and ready to go. Very little sacrifice, right? Complacency. We have to make sure that if there's anything of that in our hearts, in our minds, in our walk, in our marriage, that we do everything we can to get that out. How do we do that? We stay equipped. We realize we're equipped. We walk with the mentality that we're equipped. We walk with the heart that we're equipped. We don't just let it be words. Amen? Yeah. Let's pray. James, you can come up. Jesus, we just thank you so much for the equipping, God, that you have brought us, God. Lord, I pray for anybody in this room that is feeling overwhelmed, that is feeling they've done all this work, they've done this before, they've heard the sermon before, they are ready to just kind of throw in the towel. God, I just pray right now that you would rest on your church. You would rest on your children. You would rest on your sons and in your daughters, God. That there would be no ounce of complacency left in this place, God. That when we leave this place, that we are armored up, God, from head to toe. We are ready, Lord, to face our battles. We are ready to face the things coming at us. We are ready to face all that the enemy has to throw at us. Because you've already won, God, and because you've already won, we've already won. Because the victory is yours, God, therefore the victory is ours, God. Because when you said it is finished, that's what you meant. It is finished, period. Jesus, I pray for the lives in this place, God. The lives in this place, God, that they would know you in such a deep way, a passionate way, Father. We just thank you for your goodness, God. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, Father, that you are equipping your children, even those that don't feel worth it, even though that don't feel like they can or they don't know how, God, that you are ready to equip your sons and daughters. Remind them this morning, God. Remind it, put it on their hearts right now. Remind them, Lord, where you equipped them. Remind them, God, where they put the armor down. Remind them, God, of putting on the armor day after day after day. We thank you, Jesus, that you equip us, you trust us, God. We thank you for the places you're putting us, Lord, for the lives that we get to touch, for the lives that we get to impact. We just thank you so much, Jesus, for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship. Thank you.
you, Father, for making it well with our souls, God. That even when chaos and confusion and battles come, Father, that we are prepared and we are well in you, God. Father, I thank you for equipping us well before you well before we knew you, God, but that you've called us by name and prepared us for such a time as this. God, we give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen.